Hi, good morning. This morning, if you'll take your Bibles and turn over to the book of 2 Timothy. I'd like to take the opportunity to bring a message this morning I've entitled, Follow Me. Follow Me. I'll read this text for you. You don't have to turn there. Y'all can go to 2 Timothy in chapter 3. But in the book of Luke, I'm going to read you something here in chapter 9. And Luke chapter 9 and verse 23 says this right here. And he said unto them all, and this is Jesus, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself? Or be cast away. And that is going to be my text this morning. And I wanted to, like I said, preach a message to you I've entitled, Follow Me. No doubt the Lord has made a commandment here in Luke chapter 9 that He tells all, Follow Me. And I want us to that to be our thought this morning about ourselves. But I want to say this in opening up. Today, we have many people saying, follow me. We have many people, not even in religion, just in the world in general, everybody is looking to get your attention. Everybody. The whole entire reason we have TVs that have TV programs on them is because we have commercials. If they didn't have commercials, there would be no TV programs. They wouldn't, all the commercials pay for the TV programming. Everybody wants your attention. Everything. You drive down the interstate or the highway. Somebody wants your attention. They want you to pay attention to them. Not only do they want your attention, but they want you to do something for them. They want to draw you after them. Whether it's a musician who wants to sell his album, or whether it's a person who wrote a book and they want you to buy their book. They want your attention. They want your mind. They want you to desire what they have, and they want you to follow them to a certain extent. But this morning we're going to be speaking on a much more spiritual level of following the Lord. Not only do we have the world who's vying for our attention and us, but the devil is also, he wants your time. He wants your attention and he wants you to follow him. Because if you're following him, you aren't following Jesus. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 3, and in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to read we'll start in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. He says, turn away. That means you're following these people. That means you're in the same path and in the same road that they're in. He's given you a warning here. Turn away. Verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now I want to stop right there for just a minute. He's telling us an example right here in verse 8 of men who are doing his description in verses 1 through 7. He's given us an example. Jannes and Jambres. The Bible says here that they withstood Moses. If you'll take your Bible over to the book of Exodus, we're going to look at Jannes and Jambres and how they withstood Moses. Just so we have an understanding of what we need to turn away from. We got to turn away from something. We want to make sure we're not on that path and we're not following. I want to give you an example that he gave. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 7, verse 11. And in this portion of Scripture, Moses has been called to take the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord has given him power and empowered him to do certain acts. He comes before Pharaoh in verse 11, or verse 10. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did as so the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and he became a serpent. Verse 11. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Here's Jannes and Jambres right here. They're withstanding Moses and denying that God has done this. Because they're doing the exact same thing through their enchantments and their magic. They're withstanding Moses, and the king of Egypt here is saying, why should I listen to you? My magicians can do the same thing you can do. He's withstanding. I want you to think about that. In our day and age, in our time, there are preachers, men of the cloth, if you will, priests, bishops, whatever you want to call them, and whatever sect you want to call them, they claim to be the preachers of the Word of God. They claim to be God's messengers. But they deny the power of Jesus Christ. They deny. We have to be careful. Who are we going to follow? Jesus said, follow me. Now, I want to tell you something. I hope this isn't a shock to you. Jesus ain't here. Jesus is not here. How am I going to follow somebody who's not here? Jesus isn't walking down Lexington. He's not even in Israel walking down the street anymore. He went to the Father when He rose Himself from the grave. And all that was over, He left. I think it's John chapter 14. He told Thomas, He said, I go. So he says, Lord, how do we know where you're going? Where are you going to be? The way I go. He's gone. Jesus is gone. We can't follow Him as a man on earth. But He says, follow me. This morning, I want to try to enlighten your mind and your heart just a little bit with the Word of God to help you to understand Are we following Jesus? Are we following Jesus Christ? Or are we following someone who claims to be following Jesus Christ? You will not know these things without the power of the Word of God. The Scriptures enlighten us to truth. The Scriptures enlighten us to right and wrong. And I want to take the Scriptures this morning and try to get you to think about who are you following. All of our religious leaders, our denominations, our different sects and churches and our Bibles and holy men, most, if not all, have set themselves up to be leaders. And they're leading people's hearts and minds and souls astray. The Bible says for filthy lucre's sake. Filthy lucre's sake. Now I want you to, we're in Exodus chapter 7. I want to show you just a few more verses here. And then we're going to go back to our text. In verse 11 and 12, we saw that Aaron threw down his rod and it became a serpent. And the magicians did likewise. If you look at verse 22, verse 20 of the same chapter, Moses and Aaron went and commanded that the water be turned into blood. And the magicians, in verse 22, did so with their enchantments. And in verse 7 of chapter 8, they commanded the frogs to come up out of the river. And the magicians, in verse 8, did so with their enchantments. But when you get to verse 18, something happens. Of chapter 8 and verse 18, it says that Moses and Aaron stretched forth their hand and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. And all the dust of the land became lice throughout the land of Egypt. And verse 18 says, and the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. Let me tell you something between the devil and with the Lord. Our Lord God is the Creator. He can create life. He can create. All these other things were not had to do with creation, but manipulating creation. The devil will never be able to create life. He never has been and nor will be. But he will manipulate the life that God has created to do what He wants to do. I want you to think about that. It's important. Let's go back to 2 Timothy and chapter 3. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9, says this right here. Well, verse 8 says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of faith, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14 says this right here. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I want to say this right here. If it's not for the Word of God and the leading of the Spirit, we all would be deceived. We would all be deceived. The Bible says here that it's going to wax worse and worse. Seducers. A seducer. Someone who wants to take your mind and tell you things to get you to agree with them for their benefit. I'll give you a name. Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn will tell you he's a servant of God. He will tell you he has the power to heal people. He is a liar. If Benny Hinn can heal people, why isn't he going from hospital to hospital and emptying every hospital in the United States? He's a liar. He's a deceiver. What does he want? He wants to put on a show to get your attention, to draw you after him. Because he wants that $80 million a year. Who are we following? Jesus said, follow me. Just turn to Titus, just a few pages over. In the book of Titus, in chapter 1, verse 7. Talking about bishops, talking about leaders, people who want to draw people after themselves. The Bible says, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Verse 9, holding fast the faithful word, as he had been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of them, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Therefore, or wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Verse 15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They professing that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. I want to say this right here. The first thing that we need to take mind of and be thoughtful about, as far as following men, spiritual leaders, is take a look at their life. Are they doing this for filthy lucre's sake? Are they lovers of men of good men? Are they hospitable? Are they charitable? Are they long-suffering? Do they have the Spirit of God? You want to find out? Just take a look at their lives, and that will tell you. I want to say this right here. Some for money, some for fame, some for their own personal pleasure, but let us not be drawn after these men who claim the name but deny the power of God in their lives. Let us only follow Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 9, if you'll turn there, this is my text. I'd like to say three things about Luke chapter 9 and I'll be done. If you'll turn to the book of Luke in chapter 9 and verse 23, it says this right here. And he said unto them all, and this is Jesus Christ, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The first thing I want to make note of is this right here. If any man, and I'm going to say this right here, if any man, woman, child, anybody is going to follow the Lord, if you're going to follow the Lord, you've got to do three things. If you're going to follow the Lord, you're going to do three things. First one says, let him deny himself. Deny yourself. The first thing you're going to have to do if you're going to follow the Lord is deny yourself. This is personal. This is for you personally. This isn't for your family. This isn't for your mom and dad. This isn't for your church. This is for you. Deny yourself. The book of Titus. We were just there a second ago. Go back to the book of Titus. And in the book of Titus in chapter 2, verse 11 says this right here. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. First of all, we're going to have to deny ourselves and the pleasure of this sin for a season. We will not be followers of Jesus Christ if we don't give up some of the things in the flesh. We cannot. He told us, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself. We have to deny ourselves. Ungodliness, our worldly lust, our desires of life. The next verse says, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, says if we seek out our life, we're going to lose it. But if we lose it, we're going to gain it. And that's going to be through Jesus Christ. The first thing we're going to have to do is deny ourselves. We just read that in Titus. Turn over to Isaiah. I just want to back this up. Isaiah has a great verse. And in Isaiah chapter 55, in the Old Testament, he makes it really clear, if you have any question about exactly this denial, what is this denial? It's going to be personal pleasure. It's going to be that sin, that thing you enjoy, the thing that your flesh enjoys, that is not godly. I'm not talking about godly, I'm talking about the ungodly things. In Isaiah chapter 55, in verse 6, it says this right here. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Verse 7 says this right here. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Hey, we're going to have to get out of our way. We're going to have to get out of our people we were following. We're following ourselves. Our self says, I like these pleasures. Our personal self says, I enjoy these things. This is what I want and this is what I like. And not only do we like them, but we usually have a crowd that we hang with. And they like them. And not only does our crowd have people they hang with, but we have our little idol. Our person that, who is the presentation of what you like to do. It's, let's say it's NASCAR. I'm just saying this. I'm not saying it is NASCAR, but I'm just saying NASCAR. You might have an idol. You might have a driver. He's the best driver. Everybody should drive like Jeff Gordon. Everybody should have a 24 on the side of their car. Everybody. Right? That's what I enjoy. I'm just saying. I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying, an example. I don't know what you're following. I don't know what your tendencies are to follow. It might be music. It might be music is your God, and you're following your godless leader who sings of fornication, adultery, and drugs, and murder, and hate, and envy. Maybe that's the godless person you're following. Godless, ungodly, wicked followers. Why? You say, well, I'm not following that person. Who are you listening to? What are you putting in your ears? What is in your mind? What are the lyrics you're singing out of your mouth? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart,
the mouth speaking.
You know what you end up doing? You start following this crowd. You start following these things. You start following this religious leader who do this. Guess what you'll be doing? You'll be promoting yourself as a spiritual person. You'll be promoting yourself as a healer. You'll be trying to emulate them to draw attention to yourself to have followers of you. Jesus Christ doesn't say that. He says the first thing you're going to do if you're going to follow Jesus Christ is you're going to deny yourself. What am I going to deny? I'm going to deny my flesh.
The things it loves the most that are ungodly.
Ungodly. I'm not saying you're not going to have any more pie if you like pie. Ungodliness. Denying ungodliness. Isaiah 55 and verse 6 and 7 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. There again, he's in a way. He's on a road, he's on a path, and it's not the path Jesus Christ is on. Because Jesus Christ isn't a sinner. He isn't wicked. He isn't ungodly. So if you're in that way, you can't be a follower of Jesus Christ. Forsake his way. Forsake his thought and return to the Lord. If you'll take your Bible and turn to 1 John, the first book of John. 1 John in chapter 2. We have some instructions here. And 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says this right here. Love not the world. Now, that doesn't mean you can't like your garden. That doesn't mean you can't enjoy having a home. He's talking about something else here. He's talking about the world. Let's continue reading. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, you cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ if you don't love him. So the first thing we're going to have to do is deny ourselves these things and turn away from the love of the world. Turn away from the things that are in the world who would draw our attention and draw our desires and draw us to follow the world. We're going to have to turn our backs on it. And we're going to have to turn out that way and go into another way. Jesus Christ. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you're going to have to turn away from wherever you were or are when He shows Himself. If you're in the way, you'll know you're in the way. You aren't accidentally going to be following Jesus. You aren't going to be going through life and go, I've been following the Lord all along. No. You have to be purposeful, mindful, thinking about, desiring, looking for that path. The Bible says, wide is the way into destruction. Narrow. Narrow is the way into life everlasting. You're going to have to search that out. You're not going to accidentally fall in there. Love not the world. The first thing we're going to have to do if we're going to follow Jesus Christ, and if we're looking for leadership, that leader ought to be under these same principles, denying himself. That's first. The second thing we see in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus Christ says he's going to have to deny himself. Then he says he's going to have to take up his cross. Take up his cross. Not Jesus Christ's cross. None of us can bear the cross of Jesus Christ.
Can any of us become a sacrifice that will save the whole world?
Are we sinless? No! This cross is not the cross of Jesus Christ. This is my cross.
Brother Ron, this is your cross. Personal.
Just like point number one. You're going to have to forsake and turn away from. You're going to have to deny personally. You're going to have to pick up your own personal cross. Your personal cross is not the cross of Jesus Christ. This cross we speak of here has many meanings. I want to give you just a few of them. Just to trigger your mind. If you'll go to 1 Timothy, just a few pages over. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. There's some crosses we're going to have to bear if we're going to follow the Lord. We're going to have to pick up our own personal crosses and follow the Lord. And He says, daily. Not one time. Not once in a while. Not when you feel good. Not when the weather's permitting. Daily. If we're going to follow the Lord, we're going to have to do this daily. 2 Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 12 says this right here. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let me tell you what. The cross that you're going to have to bear daily, one of them is going to be persecution. Now you say, Brother Sam, I don't ever hear of people being persecuted. Well, that's a very, very far reach of persecution. There are brethren who have been killed for their beliefs. There are people who have been dismembered, disfigured, tortured, killed for their religious beliefs. That's the far reach of persecution. There's another side. The persecution I speak of is this right here. The Bible says those who live godly. Brother Ron, if I attempt to try to emulate in my life to follow the Lord, and I take upon myself and I deny myself the worldly lust and the pleasures of sin, and I attempt to bear that cross and walk holy before the Lord, in my feeble attempt, I'm going to be persecuted. Hey, why don't you like our dirty jokes? I don't want to hear your dirty jokes. What, think you're better than us? Persecution. Hey, we're going out Friday night getting drunk. Come on. I can't do that. What? What's wrong with you? If you deny yourself and you're going to follow the Lord, you will get persecution. You're going to have to pick up daily and say, you know what? I got this cross of persecution and I don't care. I don't care. I don't care if they persecute me. I don't care if they don't like me. I don't care if they don't think I'm funny. I don't think if they don't care if they're my friend. I got Jesus Christ. And He's the friend I need. I got my cross of persecution that I'm going to carry if you're going to live for Jesus Christ. Daily. The second cross I see here is in the first book of John. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 in verses 1 through 3. It says this right here. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. Now I want to make sure you understand. If you love Jesus Christ, you love His daddy. If you love me, is what Jesus said, is what John said, if you love Jesus, you'll love His Father. Why? Because he says, if you love the one who was begotten, you'll love the begetter. It's that simple. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. Alright? He's going to make a pretty good statement here. I want to make sure I'm paying attention. I want to make sure I'm focused so I'm not be drawn astray from those who claim they know God. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep His commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Hey, that cross and that burden I'm going to have to pick up every day and I'm going to have to bear is going to be to keep the commandments of Jesus Christ. He said the commandments were love the Lord your God all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then he said the second thing was love your neighbor. Let me tell you something. I made a statement about Benny Hinn earlier, and I can make that statement with full assurance. He don't love his neighbor. Man, if I had the power to heal Brother Joe, I would go down to Lexington Memorial first. And I'd start there on the fifth floor. And I'd just work my way down to the basement. I'd empty the whole hospital out. And then I'd find out across the street there's an urgent care. And then I'd go over there and heal everybody in the urgent care. Brother, it wouldn't be long. I wouldn't be able to go anywhere. They would be coming to me from all corners to be healed. He's a liar. Jesus Christ healed people. He had the power. He healed them. And guess what he did? When he was tired and he wanted to go home and he wanted to eat, they brought him people. They cut the roof open and dropped them down to him. You know what he did? He had compassion. Because he loved his neighbor. These men who want to claim that they are servants of God, who want to draw people after them, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's a show. Follow me, Jesus says. Take up his cross. The cross of persecution. The cross of keeping the commandments. We're going to have to bear those. If we're going to follow the Lord, we're going to have to keep in our heart, our mind, foremost, to follow the commandments of Jesus Christ. To love the Lord and to love our neighbor. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Let's look at another cross real quickly. And in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We just read that we're going to have to obey the commandment, the law. He says, bear ye one another's burdens. Hey, but Ron, if I'm going to pick up my cross daily, some days I'm going to have to pick up my cross and put it on his shoulder. And some days I'm going to pick up one of your crosses and put it on my other shoulder. I'm going to bear a burden with you, brethren. We're going to have to bear each other's burdens if we're going to serve the Lord and follow Him. Why? Because I'm obeying the law. I love my neighbor as myself. And as I love myself and as I carry my own burden and my own cross, not only would I do that for myself, but I would do it for you if I'm following Jesus daily. Hey, brethren, it's not just sin that we've got to get away from. It's not just the worldly pleasure that we've got to separate ourselves from. It's the following, the active movement of continuing, moving, making forward progress in our lives for the sake of Jesus Christ. I want to say this last of all, as far as the crosses go, in John chapter 18. The book of John in chapter 18. John at 18 in verse 37. Jesus is about to be crucified. He's about to literally carry His cross to Golgotha. He's about to go there. In verse 37, He's before Pilate, and Pilate says unto Him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." I'm going to say this right here. We're going to have to carry the cross of the cause of Christ. That cause is nothing more than the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're going to live for Christ and we're going to follow Him, we're going to have persecution. And if we're going to follow Him, we're going to have to obey the commandments. And if we're obeying the commandments, we're going to bear each other's burden. But if we're not carrying the burden and the cause of Christ, we're doing most of it in vain. We have to carry the cause, that cross of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are some of the crosses. He says, "Take up your cross and follow me." Not my cross. Not Jesus Christ's cross. Your own personal cross and follow Him. Lastly, I want to say this right here. He says, after you've denied yourself, and after you've taken up your cross daily, He says, "Follow me." After we've done these things, then we can follow Him. I want to mention a verse in Mark. Jesus mentions this following Him. And He said, "He that will not take up his cross is not worthy of me." It's important. Jesus Christ said it several times in the Scriptures. Take up your cross and then follow me. I want to say this last of all. Jesus says, "Follow me." Now, to some of you, if I say, "Hey, follow me," the next thing you want to hear out of my mouth is on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on this network. Follow me on that network. Jesus doesn't want you to follow Him on the internet. Jesus is not looking for someone to like His page. How many of you got me saying today, "If you love Jesus, go post it on your Facebook right now, or else you're going to be damned to hell forever." Right? That's a bunch of junk. God doesn't care nothing about Facebook. He don't care about Twitter. He don't care about none of that stuff. He doesn't want you to do something from a distance. He doesn't want you to do something vicariously through somebody and something else. He wants you to follow Him directly. He doesn't want you to go, "Hey Jesus, hey guys, good job. You're doing a good job over there." He doesn't want someone just to say they're following Him. Remember we read first? They claim the name, but they deny the power. Let me tell you what. The power of following Jesus Christ is the ability to deny yourself and take up your cross. Denying yourself and taking up your cross is the power of following Jesus Christ. They go hand in hand. Jesus is gone. We can't literally follow Him. But He did leave us. I'm going to give you two examples that Jesus said. I'm leaving these examples for you. He said, "I'm doing this for an example." Don't you think that's pretty important? If we're going to follow Him, that we follow the example He left us. Let's look at just two of them really, really quick. John in chapter 13. You're already at John 18. Go back to John 13. I want to give you two examples really quick and I'm going to be done. John chapter 13. I'm going to read some verses here and then I'm going to move on. John chapter 13 and verse 1. Now I just read to you in John chapter 18, Jesus was before Pilate and He was going to be crucified. This is just a few moments before. The day earlier. He is sitting with the disciples. He's having His last meal with them. He's having His last fellowship with them. He's having His last moments with them. And this is what He wants to do. This is what Jesus wants to do. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, and that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which are in the world, He loved them unto the end. The supper being ended, the devil now having put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hand, and that He was come from God and went to God. Verse 4. He riseth from supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel and girded Himself. After He poured water unto a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and began to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Verse 6. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saying to Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Peter had a little bit of change of heart. Verse 9, Peter saith unto Him, Lord, not only my feet only, but my hands and my head. Don't just wash my feet, Lord. Get all of them. Verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not to save, not saved to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For He knew who should betray Him. Therefore He saith, Ye are not all clean. So after He had washed their feet, and had taken His garments, and was set down again, He said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? They didn't understand what the Lord was doing here. It didn't make any sense. Why was Jesus washing their feet? He was the Master. He was the Lord. He was the person everybody came to. Why was He doing this for them? Jesus said, Know ye what I've done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord. And ye say well, for I am. Verse 14, If I, then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than him sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I want to say this right here. Jesus Christ left us a great example. An example was washing your feet. But brethren, it doesn't stop at just washing your feet. There are brethren who have feet washing time. And I think that's great and wonderful. It shows humility. It shows service. And that should be our heart. That if we're going to follow the Lord, the example He gave us was no matter who we were, even the greatest, the leader. The Bible says if you're going to be the leader, you want to be the servant. Why? Because who are we? Nothing but what Jesus Christ has made us. Brethren, If we're going to follow the Lord and follow in His footsteps, and He's not here, the examples He left us are humility and service for one another. Hey, happy are ye if you know these things, right? Now, the second example, I'm almost done. You're going to be shocked how fast I'm going to be done. Luke. The book of Luke in chapter 10. Luke in chapter 10 and verse 30. Jesus gives us another example. You know this story. I'm going to read it. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell amongst thieves, which stripped him of all of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest. I'd like to say he came down Benny Hinn. The poor man had never been beaten and robbed. He's laying in the ditch. Benny Hinn walked by. Said, that man can't help me. He don't even have a pocket to have money in. He's of no use to me. I'm going to walk right on by. There's your leaders. There's your spiritual. The Lord told me to take up an offering of $50,000. Hey, they walk right on by. You know why? You're of no service to me. That wasn't his neighbor. A certain priest. There's your religion, brethren. There's your religion. And when he saw him, he passed the other side. Verse 32. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed on the other side. I want to say this right here. The first person, the priest, represents religion as a whole. The second man, the Levite, he has the true religion, Jesus Christ, but he's under the law. He can't become unclean. He can't touch the unclean. He can't touch the dead. The law does not allow the love of Jesus Christ. But grace is coming. Verse 33. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And when he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host, and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Now which of these, thinkest thou, was the neighbor of him that fell amongst thieves? Had to be the Samaritan. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. I want to say this right here.
Two examples of humility and service that we read about in the washing of feet. And the loving of our neighbor and taking care of them, bearing his burden, helping the wounded, picking up the feeble, helping those is our duty,
and following the Lord. To the saved, we're going to serve one another. To the saved and those of the faith,
we're going to have humility one to another in service. And for the lost, and for those who are without,
we're going to have compassion and mercy. That's the true follow me. If we're going to follow them, it's going to have to be done like this. I'm done. I do have a question for you. Are you following Jesus? Are you personally following Jesus Christ? Or are you following a man? or a woman, or a religious person? Or are you following Jesus Christ and the commandments He gave us? There's nothing wrong with having a preacher that you look up to. There's nothing wrong with having a person that you give good and great thought to their advice. There's nothing wrong with that. But the things you do ought to be done because you love the Lord. And you are following Him and not some man. Have you denied yourself? Have you taken up your cross? And are you following the Lord? You've got to deny yourself and you've got to pick up your cross before you can follow. You can't say, "I'm a follower," and not have denied yourself. It don't go in that order. Let's stand for prayer.